So hopefully you have a Bible and it is opened to 1 John chapter 5. If not, you can throw it up on your phones. We always encourage you to follow along with the reading of the Word as we go verse by verse. We do this for a very specific purpose. We believe that the entire counsel of God's Word was and always will be not only important, not only beneficial, but absolutely vital to the health and the growth of the individual Christian. And likewise, it's vital to the growth and the health of a body of believers. And so as we gather together in His name, why would we not take out His Word every single time we get together? Let the focus be upon Jesus. Let it be upon His Word. Let us not leave out the parts we don't want to hear. And let's not just focus on the good things, but let's hear all that God has to say. And that's why we go verse by verse. So as we get into this last section, we're going to cover some very important, deep, and controversial subjects. Even though this is the concluding remarks, as it says in my subheading, we're going to talk about these controversial subjects. I'll tell you what I believe. But I'm not telling you should believe this way. We're just kind of see how this goes as we get into His Word. My challenge is to be unbiased. And that is to say that I don't want to push any particular belief in controversial subjects upon you. My job is to present both possible interpretations in equal light. Lyman Beecher once said, "No great advance has been made in science, politics, or religion without controversy." And this is one of the reasons why I believe more and more pastors, preachers, ministers, and churches have gotten away from the verse-by-verse method of Bible study. Because when you come across a controversial subject, it's going to create, most likely, division within the body. Now, it's kind of a paradox, because if you equip your body with the whole counsel of God, they will be mature enough to handle the potential division, dividing scriptures and doctrines that we read about. So it's kind of a catch-22. Yeah, the controversial stuff might divide your church in some way, but if you are steadfast to the whole counsel of God's Word, your church will be mature enough to withstand anything like that. Makes sense? Well, does to me, and that's all that's important. Ha! All right, look at John. We're going to go and read a verse before we get into verse 13. I'm going to read John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, which is a sister verse to what we're about to read here in 1 John. Jesus says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Now, you've probably heard that scripture before. You've probably adopted that doctrine before. I name it in Jesus' name. I claim it in His name. And because the Word says He will do it, He has to do it. I have just bound Jesus to His Word. Oh yeah, this is going to be fun, I'm sure. Let me skip verse 13 for just a minute. We'll go back to it. Look at verse 14 in 1 John chapter 5. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." And that verse there is very similar to the one we just read in John 14. So let's talk about the power of Christ's name, the authority of Christ's name, and prayers given up in Christ's name. Now, I told you this was going to be controversial, and this subject has caused much division in the body of Christ since the very first century when it was written. It has caused more than just a few people to leave churches because of the way they believe. And it has also made many of phony pastors and preachers rich, and has also repelled countless millions of people from the cross. You see, as powerful and uplifting as the name of Christ and the power of Christ and prayers in Christ can be, they are equally polarizing to those who have a different view in regards to name it and claim it. It is the essence of the detrimental movement, whether we call it the name it and claim it mentality or the prosperity gospel, positive confession, blab it and grab it, or the word faith movement. It all has a detrimental effect if we don't take it into context. Now, I know what you're thinking. Handsome radio preacher, aren't you going against God's word when he clearly stated that if you ask for me anything in my name, I will do it? Absolutely. But let's begin with the context. Let's begin talking about prayer. You see, you probably know as well as I do that prayer is powerful. And it is a deep-seated need and desire of the human soul to want to pray and commune with a higher power. Now, I say that because not everyone, not every culture, not everyone believes in an almighty God. Not everyone believes in the God incarnate Christ or the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. But within the members, God says in Ecclesiastes 3:10 that God has put eternity in the hearts of men. So it doesn't matter what generation or what culture you grew up in, there's something in every one of us that has a desire to seek out a spiritual enlightenment or a higher power or a source of something greater than ourselves. And so that's been put in us as a desire of the human soul. And given enough stress or enough pain or the right circumstances, that desire will come out of each and every person at some point. The old expression says there are no atheists in foxholes. You know, it's at that moment we face a great dire emergency. That moment we face we stare death in face to face. It's that time of helplessness, and it says that God here, verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, it says he hears us. So we need to understand right off the bat that he's saying that if we ask in accordance to his will, he hears us. That doesn't automatically equate to he does that which we are asking. Do you see the difference? It says if you ask in his will, if you ask of God something amiss, something out of his will, he doesn't hear us. And what I mean by that is he doesn't hear it in a sense that he's moved by it. Of course, God hears all things all the time. Just like in the Bible, where it says God, when Adam knew his wife, there's a difference between knowing her and knowing her in the biblical sense. There's a difference between God hearing us and God hearing what we are saying. And so let's go ahead and look at it this way. Let me put it to you in a different way. Spiritually uneducated prayer often ends in failure. And I think that's what John is trying to get us to understand here, that the failures of our prayers, and we've all been there, we've all prayed and wondered why God hasn't heard us, feeling like our prayers are reaching the ceilings and no higher. And we would call that a failure of prayer. But the thing is, again, I'll repeat, spiritually uneducated prayer is what often ends in failure. And when that happens, the net conclusion is that it does not work and God is not listening. Consider a nuclear missile, the power behind it, and the potential destruction that a nuclear bomb can cause. And for launch to be successful, all one has to do is basically push a button. So in a sense, anyone can launch, I put in quotations, a nuclear weapon. I know that there's keys and radio, but for this example, anyone can push a button is what I'm trying to get at. But if the button is pushed by someone who does not understand how to determine where that missile goes, it could be disastrous. And so, sure, anyone can push a button and launch a missile, but only those who know how to set the coordinates properly before pushing that button are going to send that missile to do the damage that it's designed to do. Understand? So it has to be an educated pushing of the button, so to speak. And just as there must be an educated response to anything militarily speaking, there must be an educated prayer that is lifted up to God. You see, there is a huge difference between praying in Jesus' name and praying in Jesus' will. I don't know if you ever heard that before. There's a huge difference between praying in Jesus' name and praying in His will. Too often, we pray for our will in His name. Hello? Too often, we pray for our will in His name. And we have been taught by countless sermons to come boldly to the throne. Hebrews tells us that we should come boldly to the throne of grace. That's not the issue. But to come boldly to the throne, and then we are told to claim what our need is, to proclaim our desire, and then simply stamp it with the name of Jesus and demand that God lives up to the end of His bargain. Now, someone might say, didn't John just say we have certainty that He hears and confidence that He answers? Verse 15 says, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Now, this is starting to get a little bit harder to interpret and make a spiritual separation between naming it and claiming it according to a biblical doctrine. And yes, quite frankly, too many people treat God like a magic genie or some divine bellboy ready to run to our aid at every distorted cry for justice. Or, as I comically heard the Our Father being repeated, this isn't blasphemy, it's just it's a cute little anecdote to what we're talking about here. This is how I heard the Our Father being repeated one time. Our genie who hears from heaven how we use your name, our will be done by the name of thy son, net worth, not chapter 11. Give us our way, for I have read that you give us our free passes as we shun those who press up against us, and lead us onto another vacation and deliver us from upheaval, for mine is the wisdom in this hour in my story, Amy. That's a comical look at the Our Father, but the Lord's Prayer, but it really denotes some of the mentality that is going around in our churches today. Listen, this is what's important, okay? Prayer is a means of obtaining God's will, not necessarily obtaining His hand. Do you understand the difference? Prayer is designed for us to seek out the will of God. And when we seek out the will of God and pray for the will of God, then yes, He will lead us in that direction. But too many times we are praying for God's hand. We're praying for His measure, His blessings. Listen, prayer is designed for us to commune with God. It never was meant to be an ask and receive mentality. The simple fact that we have the ability to pray should be enough alone to put us into the right mentality when it comes to prayer. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Man, that's a verse that every preacher would want to skip over. You know, are we asking with the wrong motives? Are we asking God for things that we want to use simply for our own pleasure? And here's the net concept of this whole thing. If we pray outside of His will, there is no assurance of the outcome. It's really that simple. If we pray outside of His will, there is no assurance of the outcome. Do you know that you shouldn't even pray with your mouth and with your mind? Well, yeah, sure, you have to think about what you want to pray, and sure, those prayers have to be voiced from your mouth, but prayer begins and ends in the heart. And every word that comes out of your mouth should be ordained by the Holy Spirit first. This is why it behooves me when someone is called on to pray, they just jump right into prayer as if it's some sort of vain repetition. And oftentimes, someone like that has the same opening to their prayers. Prayer was meant for us to listen to the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit form a prayer within your heart. Let the Spirit give you the words. Because listen, if you pray back that which the Spirit is giving you to pray, you are 100% guaranteed to be praying in God's will. And if you pray in God's will, using Jesus' name, then and only then will you receive that which you are asking for. That's when these scriptures we've been reading come to life. That's when they are true. But those prayers have to start in the heart, and they have to be led by the divine unctioning of the Holy Spirit. And then we are guaranteed to be praying in His will. If you ask of anything in my name, Jesus says, well, His name is His word. And if we ask of that which is in God's word, we are automatically asking in His will, because His word is Jesus and His will is in the word. And so we must get out of the concept of praying with our flesh, praying with what our eyes see and desire. We have to pray for that which God... Sometimes the prayer of the will of God is going to be something you have absolutely no desire to obtain in your life. Would you pray for harm to come to your child if that was the will of God? Sometimes a child has to go through some kind of event for maybe the sake of them or somebody else. Would you be willing to allow that to happen? If we deviate from the GPS coordinates that tell us how to get to where we're going, there is no assurance we're going to reach our destination. Here's an example of a prayer that we're going to dissect, just to kind of to drive home the point here, and then we'll take a break before we continue in the rest of 1 John. But consider a prayer that goes like this. Dear God, I can hardly believe that this is my wedding day. I know I haven't been able to spend much time with you lately, with all of the rush of getting ready for today, and I'm sorry. I guess, too, that I feel a little guilty when I try to pray about all this, since Larry still isn't a Christian. But oh, Father, I love him so much. What else can I do? I just couldn't give him up. Oh, you must save him some way, somehow. You know how much I've prayed for him and the way we've discussed the gospel together. I've tried not to appear too religious, I know, but that's because I didn't want to scare him off. Yet he isn't antagonistic, and I can't understand why he hasn't responded. Oh, if he only were a Christian. Dear Father, please bless our marriage. I don't want to disobey you. But I do love him, and I want to be his wife, so please be with us, and please don't spoil my wedding day. Now, that may sound like a sincere, earnest prayer, does it not? But if we were to strip it of all of its fine, pious language, what that prayer is really saying is something like this. Dear Father, I don't want to disobey you, but I must have my own way at all costs. For I love what you do not love, and I want what you do not want. So please, be a good God and deny yourself, and move off of your throne and let me take over. If you don't like this, then all I ask is that you bite your lip and say and do nothing that will spoil my plans and let me enjoy myself. Now that second prayer is one we would never imagine praying, but that is exactly how we pray in between reading between the lines of a lot of our prayers. Can I just be frank? Well, I'm Matthew, but I'm going to be frank for just a minute. Prayers outside of the will of God are an insult to Him. Prayers that are outside the will of God are an insult to Him, because if you pray outside of the will of God, you are praying what you want. And God is not interested in what you want. He's interested in what you need. And how we love Romans 8:28, don't we? Oh, for God works all things out to the good of those who love him. But have we ever really meditated on the two verses prior to that famous Romans 8:28 verse? This is what they read. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Please go home and meditate on verses 26 and 27 of Romans 8. It simply and clearly states that the Holy Spirit intercedes by listening and doing the will of God and bringing that to our minds, and that is what we are to pray. And so now we're going to get to the application part of asking and receiving. But I want to just take a moment, take a break here in between the teachings, and just talk to you for a minute about a new ministry we've got started up here in the Churchill area.